In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Just to say thank you for being here today. You could have stayed at home. It's a warm day and difficult to concentrate, and yet you're here. So I thank you, and thank you for listening to me week by week. I know many of you doze off as soon as I get up, but this community is about grace, so that's fine. It's just important that you're here. And again, if you're a visitor today, we particularly welcome you. It's important that we take evil seriously wherever we encounter it. So last night, the escalation of what's going on in the Middle East, who knows? Who knows? When Christians come and we say the Lord's Prayer together, deliver us from evil, perhaps we do not understand how powerful and important that really is. For the 12,000 people who are in our parish, we gather here today as a small community. You might think it's insignificant. Does it matter? Just church again. I tell you why it matters utterly. Because we come together and we pray, deliver us from evil. And it's out there, it's on our streets, it's in our home, we encounter it. And the ministry of Jesus was about the deliverance of people from Egypt, from evil, from Egypt in that sense too, from evil. At the beginning of this chapter 8, Jesus has a whole team. It says he has his disciples. He has Mary Magdalene with him, who Jesus delivered. Remember the story about her, those demons. And he named that in the gospel, it names other women who were part of the ministry team. And they went with Jesus. And wherever they went, they began to encounter the miraculous. And the demons were expelled. And this actual chapter has a wonderful story of Jairus' daughter. You'll know it well. And this story of the man who has delivered the demoniac. And it's about overcoming the evil one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the whole theme of the gospel and the epistles is about the fact that Christ has come to deliver us from evil. Let me tell you a story. When I was 16, I was with some friends. One of our friends for Christmas had had a new little gift called an Ouija board. Do you remember what Ouija boards were? Yes? Everybody remember them? This is a way of involving yourself with the occult, and they sold it as a game. You had a little device, like a glass, you moved it around. Around the outside was an alphabet, and it was designed for you to encounter spirits. We sat in our flat, his late group of us. We got the board out. We began to play. And as time began, I realized actually what we were doing here was something quite sinister. It wasn't long before we had a name of a woman who wanted to connect with us via the Ouija board. And we wrote her name down. As soon as we'd written her name down, I got up from the table and I said, guys, I'm going to go. I don't want to stay here anymore. Because I wasn't sure what we were dealing with. But I remembered her name. It had a hold on me. Years and years later, I was with one of the guys who was in that group. Sadly, he's now dead. We went to a pub in Wales to celebrate something. And I was sharing with him, Bobby, I said, do you remember the evening when we were messing about with the Ouija board? Do you remember the person's name, the woman's name? He said, I do. We spoke it together. You see, what we were encountering there was something that we had no control of and that was significant. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There is, in one sense, a war going on between in the spiritual realm that we must never take for granted, that can hugely impact our life. I'm talking to Brian. He's a builder. He was commentated about, and I've told you the story before, about a flight that had taken out of Sharm el-Sheikh. It was October time, got into the sky. It was on its way to St. Petersburg, what was Leningrad. It had a load of tourists on the flight, young families with young children, and the flight was blown up after leaving the airport. A familiar story these days. 224 tourists, children, family were killed. He said to me, "What do you think of that, Vicar?" And before I could answer, I said, I'll tell you what I think of it, Vicar. I'll tell you what I think. He said, "That is evil." Now, Brian was a non-believer. And I interrupted him. I said, "So, Brian, you want to name that as evil. So you therefore believe there is also something that is profoundly good. Evil, good." And I said, "Have you thought, therefore, you're not far from the belief in God, because you believe in our universe there are things which are good and there are things that are utterly evil." And he thanked me for my intervention. We need to take evil seriously. We need to guard our homes and our families against it. We must never take for granted, when we pray the words, "Deliver us from evil," how powerful and important that is. Many times in my ministry, I've encountered people who I've been counseling, talking with, sharing with, and I'm aware that there's something else going on, and there is something else speaking, where we might name it as possession, demon possession. And all of a sudden, I've had to pray in the name of Jesus to rebuke the evil spirit and for it to be silenced. That's, by the way, why I think perhaps the film The Exorcist is a very powerful film, because at least it treats the reality of this presence seriously. Doesn't take it for granted. And so all of us need to think hard about what we get ourselves involved with. So, for example, I stay clear of things like horoscopes. I very rarely, if ever, say things like "touch wood" or "cross fingers," or for that matter, "good luck." Because there is a progression and a danger, and there's a reality. We must take these things seriously. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Who would have ever thought, for example, in such an advanced age with so much amazing technology, that we can do so much, and we can cure so much, and we can speak so much, and we can show so much, and there's so much available to us. Who would have ever thought in such a world as this that suddenly there is war after war after war after war after war? It just unravels in front of us. Deliver us from the evil one. Paul says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing good." And so I take this story in the Gospels here seriously today. By the way, I was reading the commentaries on this, an awful lot of the commentaries talk about it as mental illness. Pray for those who are involved deeply in the ministry and care for those who are mentally sick. Pray for those in our community here who minister daily. What an important, vital ministry that is. So thank you, Solomon and others. But at the same time, there is also things in our world that are deeply sinister, that we must never take for granted. At the same time, it's also worth thinking about what are the things that possess us today, so that we can't live freely. What possesses us? What possesses you? Be it money, be it an addiction, be it pornography, alcohol, the past, just a failure to let go, just constantly living in fear. I don't believe these things are necessarily in any sense demonic, but there are an awful lot of things that prevent us from living full and liberated lives because we're possessed and we just cannot live fruitfully because constantly we live often with our presenting past, a loss, a significant loss, and it just colours our life and we've never let go of it. Haven't been able to break its spell or its power. But as Christians, we're called to live freely. It's a wonderful story, this, because when they come back and say, see the man, here he is dressed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. These are all powerful metaphors. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Here he is with his Lord. He wants to learn more. Here he wants to be in his presence. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it says he's healed. The word there is sozo. And it's where we get the word saved. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's saved. Made whole. Wow. That's Christian ministry for you. That's what every single person here needs today. If you realize it or not, all of us need to be saved. You need to be made whole for your brokenness on those things that daily just possess us and stop us living freely. You know, sometimes it's simply a mobile phone. One of the 21st century's horrendous addictions is our preoccupation with our mobile phone. It just possesses our life. And everywhere you go, you just see people holding their phones and it just lives with them and it's their life. And when they lose it, they go into a state of neurosis and fear. What happened to my phone? What does that tell you? Fear. He came to save us. It says he was healed. Lovely part of the story, he wants to join the mission team. He wants to go with the disciples and the women and continue the ministry. Can I come with you? What does Jesus say? Wonderful. He says, go back to your home and tell them the good news that God has done for you. If only he could save our homes. Because we know that so often they're places of deep brokenness, of heartache. He went back to his home and he told them the good news and they rejoiced of what had happened. He'd been saved, he'd been healed. I don't know what you encounter in your home, but I pray that you'll return from here today and it'll be a place where you're saved. You'll be made whole. It'll be a place of freedom and liberation and not fear. That the relationships that have been broken, the heartache and the care and the fear that is there will be released because you will have realized the power that comes in knowing Jesus. And by the way, things possess me. Just a day or so ago, I had a message from somebody and it just gripped me with fear. Couldn't sleep. I'm still trying to let go of it and renounce it in Jesus' name. I'm still trying to get back to what I came to know at my baptism, where I said no to those things that possess me. That's what we did at our baptism. We become children of God. But it still worries me a little. Trying to turn it away, praying about it. But we mustn't allow these things to possess us and hold us and to grip us. We need to be saved. I went to a funeral this week, Wednesday, in Wales, beautiful part of the country, in the Wye Valley, a place called Tintern, famous because of the Abbey, my cousin. I walked in there and there were all my family there. I was there in my civvies without my dog collar. I was just turned up as Lyndon. Oh, right. Wonderfully taken for granted. And as I sat there as Joe Public, I realized, looking around with my family, how difficult it was for me to speak of the life that I've come to know in Jesus to the rest of them, because they're my family. I'd come home And sometimes the most difficult place that we can really bring freedom and deliverance and grace and mercy and joy is the places that we're most familiar with, our homes. Jesus enters Gentile territory. It's on the other side of the lake. And here they begin to experience something of the power of God. So, we go from this place into an uncertain world this week. Who knows? Last night, the American presidents announced that they bombed Iran. That could have huge significance. And we have our own family concerns and those things that occupy our life daily that just hold us and possess us that we need to be free from. And I pray that you will really learn the power of what it meant when Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he said to them, deliver us from evil. We're called to freedom and not fear. And I pray that whatever possesses you today, you will be released from. Amen.
The longest day, the halfway point of a year, a milestone reached and marked by light and dark. A symbolic day and time of looking back and looking forward. Father, we pray in this moment, in this space, suspended between the before and after, between the earthly and the divine, we come to you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The longest day, the sun blazing down, the clouds withholding rain, the imbalance of weather, an adjustment to the expected norm, the absence of norm. For communities in drought, we pray. For flooded valleys and towns, we pray. For melting ice caps and glaciers, we pray. For ecosystems in crisis, we pray. Guide us in our choices. Help us see your creation. Make sustainability our focus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The longest day, bombs raining down, drones incoming from above, bullets fired at innocent civilians waiting to receive food, rubble trapping men, women, and children, hands grappling to free and help others, hospitals operating on hope and faith alone. Messages and videos being sent so we can see the reality, the horrors. The longest day. Opportunities to talk, to negotiate, to find diplomacy, to ask questions, to listen to the needs and hopes, to find reconciliation, to seek peace. We can choose to be helpless. We can choose to ignore. We can choose to use our voice. And we do choose to pray. You stood up for the marginalized, for the weak, for the persecuted. You seek the same of us, made in your image, emboldened by your spirit. We pray for peace, for integrity. We pray for life. We pray for the ferocity and obscenity of war to cease, for anger to be replaced by love, for one human to be seen the same as any other. We simply pray. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The longest day. Where memories are all that remain, where loss fills minds and hearts and lurks behind and in front, where reminders of what is no longer are everywhere, of empty chairs and less plates at dinner time, the untouched side of a bed, the unworn clothes and the untouched toothbrush, the post never opened and the messages never read. We pray for those left behind who feel all of this. The longest day is upon them. For the days, the weeks, the months, and the years that pass, the longest day. For long lives lived, for short lives barely lived, and for the lives in the midst of being formed, we pray. We pray for all who hold them, carry them, miss them, and mourn them. Wipe their tears, still their trembling, feel their emptiness, hear their rage. Hold them tightly when grief creeps up on them, cradle them gently. We pray particularly this week, remembering with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Michael Story, Harry Layton, and Clifford Layton, and any of those known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The longest day of waiting for news, waiting for exam results, waiting. We pray for all those who hurt, who are suffering, whose spirits are broken. We pray for strength, for resilience, for hope and the expertise of medical staff. We pray in particular for the prayer requests for healing and other needs in Starlink, for Earl Adams, David Elaine, Elizabeth Bellow, Chanel Borty, Malcolm George, Pam Story, Martin Vowles, Angela Zadurian, and any of those who are known to us in our hearts and in our minds. We pray for those who've been taking exams, who are at a crossroads in learning, where measures of success are laid out on paper, where paths are decided and aspirations laid bare. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The longest day of warmth, of light, of ripening fruit and produce, of glorious blue skies, of dappled dancing light through branches and leaves, of being outside in parks and gardens and fields, of meeting with others, of a cool breeze entering a window and brushing our faces, of bare feet on cool floors, of watching bees and butterflies doing their thing, of marvelling at the seasons and rhythm of life. The longest day to pray for all the blessings that are bestowed on us. We give thanks for lives that are lived to the full. And today, in particular, we give thanks for birthdays, anniversaries, in particular to Mercy Sigorki, Bernadette Rajan, and to Shirley Wilson, whose birthdays fall at this time. We give thanks and pray for all the positives and spirit-filled moments in our lives, to give thanks and to walk our journey with you at our side. The longest day, your day, gifted to us so that we might live and love and pray. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers. For the sake of your Son,
our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.